Chapter 2.
Darling, I know you've been looking forward to playing chess with Quentin, but I simply must go to Solange's room now.
You've been in her room all fucking day.
I know I've been... Well, not all day. I mean, well, most of the day, really. But, I mean, she's in pain, darling, really. And I must help her have her lunch. I'm just going to take it up to her, and I'm going to sit with her. And then I promise to take the baby. I promise.
I've had the baby all fucking day.
Well, it's your baby, too. Well, I know it's my baby, too. Look, she's just been a bit fussy today, and I thought since it was nap time that you might do me the favour of reading her a little story and watching her while she was asleep so I could go play chess with my friend, whom I very rarely see.
Oh, darling, you can go play chess with him as soon as I'm done with the lunch, okay? It won't take very long. Darling, please. Please, darling.
I'll do it on one condition.
What?
Let's see. What do I want you to do later?
Oh, come on. We're in the middle of the Great Hall. Honestly, darling, someone might walk by.
All right, then. Well, I'll tell you what. Something will be waiting in our room for you to put on later. Will that be good?
What something?
Never you mind. Just something. Do you promise?
Yes, I promise. I have to get up there. I promise. All right, I promise.
All right. Have a lovely lunch with your sister. And honestly, when you get back, I'm going to go play chess. I'm going to go play chess.
Yes, all right, darling. Thank you so much. Kisses. Bye.
All right. Well, I suppose I'd better continue where I left off. Let's see. I think we're on chapter 2. So, well, let's have at it then. Chapter 2, The Pool of Tears.
"Curiouser and curiouser," cried Alice. She was so much surprised that for the moment she quite forgot how to speak good English. "Now I'm opening out like the largest telescope that ever was. Goodbye, feet." For when she looked down at her feet, they seemed to be almost out of sight, they were getting so far off. "Oh, my poor little feet. I wonder who will put on your shoes and stockings for you now, dears. I'm sure I shan't be able. I shall be a great deal too far off to trouble myself about you. You must manage the best way you can. But I must be kind to them," thought Alice. "Perhaps they won't walk the way I want to go. Let me see. I'll give them a new pair of boots every Christmas." And she went on planning to herself how she would manage it. They must go by the carrier, she thought, and how funny it'll seem sending presents to one's own feet, and how odd the directions will look. Alice's right foot, Esquire, hearth rug near the fender, with Alice's love. Oh dear, what nonsense I'm talking. Just at this moment, her head struck against the roof of the hall. In fact, she was now rather more than 9 feet high, and she at once took up the little golden key and hurried off to the garden door. Poor Alice! It was as much as she could do lying down on one side to look through into the garden with one eye, but to get through was more hopeless than ever. She sat down and began to cry again. "You ought to be ashamed of yourself," said Alice, "a great girl like you, she might well say this, to go on crying in this way. Stop this moment, I tell you." But she went on all the same, shedding gallons of tears, until there was a large pool around her, about 4 inches deep, and reaching half down the hall. After a time, she heard little pattering feet in the distance, and she hastily dried her eyes to see what was coming. It was the White Rabbit returning splendidly dressed with a pair of white kid gloves in one hand and carrying a large fan in the other. He came trotting along in a great hurry, muttering to himself as he came. "Oh, the Duchess, the Duchess! Oh, won't she be savage if I've kept her waiting?" Alice felt so desperate that she was ready to ask help of anyone. So when the rabbit came near her, she began in a low, timid voice, "If you please, sir." The rabbit started violently, dropped the white kid gloves and the fan, and scurried away into the darkness as hard as he could go.
"Who's that?"
"Was nobody."
"What do you mean it was no... Who's back there behind the couch?"
"Come out right now." Dude, don't hurt me, dude. I was just listening to the story, man. I was totally getting into it, man. Is that a baby?
Yes, that is a baby.
Whoa, dude. Whose baby is that?
It's my baby. Kenny, do you remember me? I'm Professor Lupin. I used to live here.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you that wizard dude?
Yes, I am the wizard dude, and this is my baby, Annie.
Oh, it's a girl baby. Cool. Hey, little baby. Hey, that baby talked to me, man. That baby's smiling at me, man.
Yes, lovely. Anyway, you were hiding behind the couch. Why?
Oh, the couch, man. Yeah, well, I was kind of taking a nap back there, and then, like, I heard you and Victor's, like, ex-wife, Elizabeth. Oh, yeah, Elizabeth. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, I heard you guys talking, and it sounded like you were kind of having a little bit of a, disagreement? Yeah, that's it. Anyway, so I didn't want to interrupt. And then you started reading this cool-ass story. And I'm, like, totally into it.
So what?
So can I listen, dude? Can I just, like, sit here and listen if I promise to be, like, totally, totally quiet? Do you mind if I listen? Can I listen? Can I listen?
All right, do you promise to be quiet? Because I'm trying to get the baby to go to sleep because it's her nap time.
Oh, totally, dude. Totally. I can be, like, totally quiet, okay? I promise.
All right. Now, where was I? Let's see.
Oh, she scared the rabbit. She scared the rabbit, dude.
Yeah, she scared the rabbit. All right. All right, here we go. Alice took up the fan and gloves, and as the hall was very hot, she kept fanning herself all the time she went on talking. Dear, dear, how queer everything is today. What's so funny?
Dude, I'm sorry, dude, you said queer.
I didn't. This book was written a very long time ago, all right, Kenny? It wasn't meant in that way.
Oh. Oh, like, what way? What did it? What does it mean?
You know, queer. Odd.
Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Sorry, dude. Sorry.
How queer everything is today. And yesterday, things went on as usual. I wonder if I've changed in the night. Let me think. Was I the same when I got up this morning? I almost think I can remember feeling a little different. But if I'm not the same, the next question is, who in the world am I? Ah, that's the great puzzle. And she began thinking over all the children she knew that were the same age as herself, to see if she could have been changed into any of them. I'm sure I'm not Ada, she said, for her hair goes in such long ringlets, and mine doesn't go into ringlets at all. And I'm sure I can't be Mabel, for I know all sorts of things, and she knows such a very little. Besides, she's she, and I'm I, and, oh dear, how puzzling it all is. I'll try if I know all the things I used to know. Let me see. 4 times 5 is 12, and 4 times 6 is 13, and 4 times 7 is... Oh dear, I shall never get to 20 at that rate. However, multiplication table doesn't signify. Let's try geography. London is the capital of Paris, and Paris is the capital of Rome, and Rome... No, that's all wrong, I'm certain. I must have been changed for Mabel. I'll try and say, how doth the little... And she crossed her hands on her lap as if she were saying lessons, and began to repeat it. But her voice sounded hoarse and strange, and the words did not come the same as they used to do. How doth the little crocodile improve his shining tail, and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale? How cheerfully he seems to grin, how neatly spreads his claws, and welcomes little fishes in with gently smiling jaws. Why, that's dreadful. I think it's totally cool, man. It's a poem about a crocodile. Yes, I know. I'll go on. I'm not sure those are the right words, said poor Alice, and her eyes filled with tears again as she went on. I must be Mabel after all, and I shall have to go on and live in that pokey little house, and have next to no to... Stop making faces, Kenny.
Sorry, dude. I can't concentrate if you continue to make faces. I'll have to ask you to leave.
No, 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 I want to hear the story. I'm sorry, I won't make faces.
Don't make faces at the baby. She's trying to go to sleep. Okay, I'll stop making faces, dude. All right. Let's see. And have next to no toys to play with and oh, ever so many lessons to learn. Nope, I've made up my mind about it. If I'm Mabel, I'll stay down here. It'll be no use their putting their heads down and saying, come up again, dear. I shall only look up and say, who am I then? Tell me that first. And then if I like being that person, I'll come up. If not, I'll stay down here till I'm somebody else. But, oh dear, cried Alice with a sudden burst of tears. I do wish they would put their heads down. I'm so very tired of being all alone here.
You know, dude.
What?
You know, sometimes, like, when I wake up, like in the middle of the night, I totally think that I might be somebody else.
Kenny, honestly.
No, like, honestly, like, I look down and, I think that I might be somebody else.
Well, I don't know. Don't be the drugs, though.
Yes, mightn't it? Okay, can I continue, please?
Oh, yeah, sorry, dude. Sorry. Kenny?
Yeah?
Did I, or did I not, tell you to be quiet?
Yeah?
Can you continue to be quiet?
Yeah?
Then I shall continue to read. As she said this, she looked down at her hands and was surprised to see that she had put on one of the rabbit's little white kid gloves while she was talking. How can I have done that? She thought. I must be growing small again. She got up and went to the table to measure herself by it, and found that as nearly as she could guess, she was now about 2 feet high, and was going on shrinking rapidly. She soon found out that the cause of this was the fan she was holding, and she dropped it hastily, just in time to save herself from shrinking away altogether.
Oh, dude, you know, sometimes I think... Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you talking?
I will totally keep quiet.
That was a narrow escape, said Alice, a good deal frightened at the sudden change, but very glad to find herself still in existence. And now for the garden. And she ran with all speed back to the little door, but alas, the little door was shut again, and the little golden key was lying on the glass table as before. And things are worse than ever, thought the poor child, for never was I so small as this before, never. And I declare it is too bad that it is. And she said these words. Oh. Are you making faces at the baby again?
No.
Yes, you are. Okay, all right, you need to leave.
No, man, come on, I want to hear the story.
Do you want to hear the story? Or do you want to make faces at the baby?
I want to hear the story.
Stop distracting me then. As she said these words, her foot slipped, and in another moment, splash, she was up to her chin in salt water. Her first idea was that she had somehow fallen into the sea, and in that case I can go back by railway, she said to herself. Alice had been to the seaside once in her life, and had come to the general conclusion that wherever you go to on the English coast, you find a number of bathing machines in the sea, some children digging in the sand with wooden spades, then a row of lodging houses, and behind them a railway station. However, she soon made out that she was in the pool of tears which she had wept when she was 9 feet high. "I wish I hadn't cried so much," said Alice, as she swam about, trying to find her way out. "I shall be punished for it now, I suppose, by being drowned in my own tears. That will be a queer thing, to be sure. However, everything is queer today. Don't say it."
I'm not going to say anything, I promise.
Right. Just then, she heard something splashing about in the pool a little way off, and she swam nearer to make out what it was. At first, she thought it must be a walrus or a hippopotamus. Then she remembered how small she was now, and she soon made out that it was only a mouse that had slipped in like herself. Would it be of any use now, thought Alice, to speak to this mouse? Everything is so out of the way down here that I should think it very likely it can talk. At any rate, there's no harm in trying. So she began. "Oh, mouse, do you know the way out of this pool? I'm very tired of swimming about here, oh, mouse." Alice thought this must be the right way of speaking to a mouse. She'd never done such a thing before, but she remembered having seen in her brother's Latin grammar, a mouse, of a mouse, to a mouse, o mouse. The mouse looked at her rather inquisitively, seemed to her to wink with one of its little eyes, but it said nothing. Perhaps it doesn't understand English, thought Alice. I dare say it's a French mouse come over with William the Conqueror. For, with all her knowledge of history, Alice had no very clear notion of how long ago anything had happened. So she began again. Où est ma chatte? Which was the first sentence in her French lesson book. The mouse gave a sudden leap out of the water and seemed to quiver all over with fright. Oh, I beg your pardon, cried Alice hastily, afraid she had hurt the poor animal's feelings. I quite forgot you didn't like cats.
Not like cats, cried the mouse in a shrill, passionate voice. Would you like cats if you were me?
Well, perhaps not, said Alice in a soothing tone. Don't be angry about it, and yet I wish I could show you our cat Dinah. I think you'd take a fancy to cats if you could only see her. She's such a dear, quiet thing, Alice went on, half to herself, as she swam lazily about in the pool. And she sits purring so nicely by the fire, licking her paws and washing her face, and she is such a nice, soft thing to nurse, and she's a capital one for catching mice. Oh, I beg your pardon, cried Alice again, for this time the mouse was bristling all over, and she felt certain it must be really offended. We won't talk about her any more if you'd rather not.
We indeed, cried the mouse, who was trembling down to the end of its tail. As if I would talk on such a subject. Our family has always hated cats. Nasty, low, vulgar things. Don't let me hear the name again.
I won't indeed, said Alice, in a great hurry to change the subject of conversation. Are you fond of dogs? The mouse did not answer, so Alice went on eagerly. There is such a nice little dog near our house. I should like to show you. A bright-eyed little terrier, you know, with oh, such long, curly brown hair. And it'll fetch things when you throw them. It'll sit up and beg for its dinner and all sorts of things. I can't remember half of them. It belongs to a farmer, you know, and he says it's so useful it's worth £100. He says it kills all the rats and oh, dear, cried Alice in a sorrowful tone. I'm afraid I've offended it again. For the mouse was swimming away from her as hard as it could go, and making quite a commotion in the pool as it went. So she called softly after it, "Mouse, dear, do come back again, and we won't talk about cats, or dogs either, if you don't like them." When the mouse heard this, it turned round and swam slowly back to her, its face quite pale. With passion, Alice thought. And it said in a low, trembling voice, "Let us get to the shore, and then I can tell you my history, and you'll understand why it is I hate cats and dogs." It was high time to go, for the pool was getting quite crowded with the birds and animals that had fallen into it. There was a duck and a dodo, a lory and an eaglet, and several other curious creatures. Alice led the way, and the whole party swam to the shore. There we go. That's the end of chapter 2. And the baby is not asleep. Dude. What? Dude, I just gotta tell you, this story is cool! Yes, thank you very much. What is it? It's a book called Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Wow. I never heard that story before. It's pretty badass, dude. How much more of it is there? It's a whole book, Kenny. Whoa! Are you going to read any more? Well, as the baby doesn't happen to be asleep yet, do you, darling? No, you don't. All right, well, I suppose I shall try to read another chapter, since my dear wife has not arrived yet either. So, let's continue, shall we, to chapter 3. Chapter 3. A Caucus Race and a Long Tail. They were indeed a queer-looking party that assembled on the bank, the birds with draggled feathers, the animals with their fur clinging close to them, and all dripping wet, cross, and uncomfortable. The first question, of course, was how to get dry again. They had a consultation about this, and after a few minutes it seemed quite natural to Alice to find herself talking familiarly with them, as if she'd known them all her life. Indeed, she had quite a long argument with the lorry, who at last turned sulky and would only say, "I am older than you and must know better." And this Alice would not allow, without knowing how old it was, and as the lorry positively refused to tell its age, there was no more to be said. At last the mouse, who seemed to be a person of some authority among them, called out,
"Sit down, all of you, and listen to me. I'll soon make you dry enough." They all sat down at once in a large ring, with the mouse in the middle. Alice kept her eyes anxiously fixed on it. She felt sure she'd catch a bad cold if she did not get dry very soon.
"Where am baby at?"
"Oh, goodness. Oh. Hello, Lucretia."
"Oh, Mr. Looper, look at their little baby. Oh, Lord Jesus, ain't she so cute? Oh, look at their little baby. Oh, Mr. Looper, let me pick her up. Just let me pick her up for just a minute, okay? I know you was trying to get her to sleep, but just let me pick her up. Oh, Mr. Looper, please."
"Yes, Lucretia, I'd be happy if you would pick up my baby. She looks like she loves you already."
"Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, look at that little face. Oh, she looked just like Miss Elizabeth did when she were a baby. Oh, she's so cute. Oh, can I sing a song? Can I sing a song to the baby, Mr. Lupin?"
"Well, I'd be happy if you could sing a song to the baby. Perhaps you can make the baby fall asleep. How would that be?"
"Oh, Mr. Lupin. Oh, okay. I was going to sing a song to the little baby, okay? All right, now,
what can I sing?
Oh, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to sing. I'm going to sit here and hold the baby, and you read your story, and then when you get done, I have a song, okay? And then we have a song, all right? What are you doing here?"
Who, Kenny?
"Yeah, what are you doing around?
Mr. Lupin, you shouldn't let him around your baby."
Hey, I'm not going to hurt the baby. I don't have no problem with babies. I'm not going to hurt the baby."
"Miss Lupin, you ain't let him take care of your baby, are you?"
"No, I'm not letting him take care of the baby.
He just happened to be here. He was hiding behind the couch."
"Oh, he a weird dude, Mr. Lupin. Well, you don't come near this baby, okay? You go sit over there on the other side of the table, okay? You go sit over there."
"Fine. All right, then.
Okay, me and the baby gonna listen to your story, Mr. Lupin. What we hearing today?"
"This is Alice's Adventures in Wonderland."
"Oh, Alice in Wonderland. Oh, my Lord. I used to read that to them little girls when they were small. Oh, I just love this story. What's going on? Where are we?"
"We're on chapter 3. Let's see, a caucus race and a long tale. Oh, the girls love this one. There's a good poem in it, too. Okay. All right, I'm ready. Me, this little baby. Oh, little baby, she's so cute.
Oh, we're just gonna sit here and listen to you, Mr. Lupin. Oh, this is so nice.
You know, I wish I had a baby of my own. I never did have no baby of my own, you know. I mean, I was just too busy, really. You know, and I couldn't find no man that I liked.
Oh, I'm just going on. Oh, look at me, just going on. Okay, Mr. Lupin, you go ahead and read your story."
"Yes, thank you. All right." "Ahem," said the mouse with an important air. "Are you all ready? This is the driest thing I know. Silence all round, if you please. William the Conqueror, whose cause was favoured by the Pope, was soon submitted to by the English, who wanted leaders, and had been of late much accustomed to usurpation and conquest. Edwin and Morcar, the Earls of Mercia and Northumbria..."
"Ugh," said the lorry with a shiver.
"I beg your pardon," said the mouse, frowning but very politely. "Did you speak?"
"Not I," said the lorry hastily.
"I thought you did," said the mouse. "I proceed. Edwin and Morcar, the Earls of Mercia and Northumbria, declared for him, and even Stigand, the patriotic Archbishop of Canterbury, found it advisable."
"Found what?" said the duck.
"Found it," the mouse replied rather crossly. "Of course you know what it means."
"I know what it means well enough when I find a thing," said the duck. "It's generally a frog or a worm. The question is, what did the archbishop find?" The mouse did not notice this question, but hurriedly went on.
"Found it advisable to go with Edgar Atheling to meet William and offer him the crown. William's conduct at first was moderate, but the insolence of his Normans..." "How are you getting on now, my dear?" it continued, turning to Alice as it spoke.
"As wet as ever," said Alice in a melancholy tone. "It doesn't seem to dry me at all." "In that case," said the dodo solemnly, rising to its feet, "I move that the meeting adjourn for the immediate adoption of more energetic remedies."
"Speak English," said the eaglet. "I don't know the meaning of half those long words. And what's more, I don't believe you do either."
And the eaglet bent down its head to hide a smile. Some of the other birds tittered audibly. "What I was going to say," said the Dodo in an offended tone, "was that the best thing to get us dry would be a caucus race." "What is a caucus race?" said Alice, not that she much wanted to know, but the Dodo had paused, as if it thought that somebody should speak, and no one else seemed inclined to say anything. "Why," said the Dodo, "the best way to explain it is to do it. And as you might like to try the thing yourself, some winter day, I will tell you how the Dodo managed it." "First, it marked out a race course in a sort of circle. The exact shape doesn't matter," it said. "And then all the party were placed along the course, here and there. There was no 1, 2, 3 in a way, but they began running when they liked and left off when they liked, so that it was not easy to know when the race was over. However, when they had been running half an hour or so and were quite dry again, the Dodo suddenly called out, 'The race is over!' And they all crowded round it, panting, and asked, 'But who has won?'"
"Yeah, dude, that seems like kind of a crappy race."
"Don't you say them things in front of that baby.
Crappy isn't a bad word. Well, it's she shouldn't be here, and she shouldn't be hearing you talk anyway. Let Mr. Lupin tell his story."
"Thank you, Lucretia. We shall find out, all right, Kenny? We shall find out who won. Just a moment."
"Fine."
"All right." The question the Dodo could not answer without a great deal of thought, and it stood for a long time with one finger pressed upon its forehead, the position in which you usually see Shakespeare in the pictures of him, while the rest waited in silence. At last the Dodo said, "Everybody has won, and all must have prizes." "But who's to give the prizes?" quite a chorus of voices asked. "Why, she, of course," said the Dodo, pointing at Alice with one finger, and the whole party at once crowded round her, calling out in a confused way, "Prizes! Prizes!" Alice had no idea what to do, and in despair she put her hand in her pocket and pulled out a box of comfits, luckily the salt water had not gotten into it, and handed them round as prizes. There was exactly one apiece all round. "But she must have a prize herself, you know," said the Mouse. "Of course," the Dodo replied very gravely. "What else have you got in your pocket?" it went on, turning to Alice. "Only a thimble," said Alice sadly. "Hand it over here," said the Dodo. Then they all crowded round her at once, while the Dodo solemnly presented the thimble, saying, "We beg your acceptance of this elegant thimble." And when it had finished this short speech, they all cheered. Alice thought the whole thing very absurd, but they all looked so grave that she did not dare to laugh. And, as she could not think of anything to say, she simply bowed and took the thimble, looking as solemn as she could. Next thing was to eat the comfits.
What's a comfit?
It's
a little piece of candy, you know, like a mint or something.
Oh,
is that what they called them in olden times?
I don't know, Kenny. I still call them comfits.
Yeah, but wizards like kind of live in olden times, right?
Kind of. Might I finish this chapter?
Yeah, sure, dude. So, I just want to know what a comfit was, man.
And now you know. As she could not think of anything to say, she simply bowed and took the thimble, looking as solemn as she could. The next thing was to eat the comfits. This caused some noise and confusion, as the large birds complained they could not taste theirs, and small ones choked and had to be patted on the back. However, it was all over at last, and they sat down again in a ring and begged the Mouse to tell them something more. "You promised to tell me your history, you know," said Alice. "And why is it you hate C&D, she added in a whisper, half afraid that it would be offended again.
"Mine is a long and sad tale," said the Mouse, turning to Alice and sighing.
"It is a long tale, certainly," said Alice, looking down with wonder at the Mouse's tail. "But why do you call it sad?" And she kept on puzzling about it while the Mouse was speaking, so that her idea of the tale was something like this. Fury said to a Mouse that he met in the house, "Let us both go to law. I will prosecute." Kenny, what are you doing?
What?
What are you doing?
Oh, well, I had this, well, I think I have something in my pants.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't you say that in front of the baby. Oh,
if you have something in your pants, can you go to the bathroom, please? You're really distracting me.
Sorry, dude, I'll wait till you're done. Can you start again?
Fury said to a Mouse that he met in the house, "Let us both go to law. I will prosecute you." Come, I'll take no denial. We must have a trial, for really this morning I've nothing to do. Said the mouse to the cur, such a trial, dear sir, with no jury or judge, would be wasting our breath. I'll be judge, I'll be jury, said cunning old fury. I'll try the whole cause and condemn you to death.
You are not attending, said the mouse to Alice severely. What are you thinking of?
I beg your pardon, said Alice very humbly. You had got to the fifth bend, I think.
I'm not, cried the mouse, sharply and very angrily.
And not, said Alice, always ready to make herself useful and looking anxiously about her.
Oh, do let me help undo it.
I shall do nothing of the sort, said the mouse, getting up and walking away.
You insult me by talking such nonsense.
I didn't mean it, pleaded poor Alice, but you're so easily offended, you know. The mouse only growled in reply.
Please come back and finish your story, Alice called after it, and the others joined in chorus, yes, please do, but the mouse only shook its head impatiently and walked a little quicker.
What a pity it wouldn't stay, sighed the lorry as soon as it was quite out of sight, and an old crab took the opportunity of saying to her daughter,
Ah, my dear, let this be a lesson to you, never to lose your temper.
Hold your tongue, ma, said the young crab a little snappishly. You're enough to try the patience of an oyster.
I wish I had our Dinah here, I know I do, said Alice loud, addressing nobody in particular. She'd soon fetch it back.
And who is Dinah, if I might venture to ask the question, said the lorry.
Alice replied eagerly, for she was always ready to talk about her pet. Dinah's our cat, and she's such a capital one for catching mice, you can't think. And oh, I wish you could see her after the birds. Why, she'll eat a little bird as soon as look at it.
This speech caused a remarkable sensation among the party. Some of the birds hurried off at once. One old magpie began wrapping itself up very carefully, remarking, I really must be getting home. The night air doesn't suit my throat. And a canary called out in a trembling voice to its children, Come away, my dears. It's high time you are all in bed. On various pretexts, they all moved off, and Alice was soon left alone.
I wish I hadn't mentioned Dinah, she said to herself in a melancholy tone. Nobody seems to like her down here, and I'm sure she's the best cat in the world. Oh, my dear Dinah, I wonder if I shall ever see you any more. And here poor Alice began to cry again, for she felt very lonely and low-spirited. In a little while, however, she again heard a little pattering of footsteps in the distance, and she looked up eagerly, half hoping that the mouse had changed its mind and was coming back to finish his story.
Is the baby asleep?
Oh, no, Mr. Lupin. She just looking up at me with them sweet little eyes. Oh, Mr. Lupin, she's so pretty.
Well, thank you very much, Lucretia, but my voice seems about to give out. I would like to go play chess with my friend, and my baby's asleep, and my wife has still not returned.
Your wife has returned, darling. I'm right here. You may go play chess with Quentin now.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Wouldn't that not, Mr. Lupin? You thanking the Lord.
I likes it.
Yes, Lucretia, well, thank you very much for holding the baby. Was Kenny here a moment ago?
Kenny? What was he doing round the baby?
Well, no, he was across the room listening to story.
What? Is he gone?
I don't see him anywhere.
Oh, you know him. He'd just be slipping off. I don't know. He probably went into the bathroom. He said he had something in his pants.
Oh, for the love of... Seriously? Darling, you can't let him around the baby.
I'm going to play chess.
All right, then. We'll have a lovely time playing chess with your friend.
Yes, thank you very much, darling. I shall see you later.
Kisses, darling.
Yes, kisses. Kisses. All right.
You need to kiss the baby?
Yes. Kisses for you too, Annie. Kisses. Goodbye. All right. Goodbye, everyone. I'm going to play chess. Goodbye.
Oh, wasn't that... He's watched the baby nearly all day, Lucretia, nearly all day. I can't believe she's still not asleep yet.
Oh, Miss Lisbeth, he done read her 3 chapters of that book, and she just not going to sleep. I think she like Miss Alice, just like you. You remember, you love Miss Alice. Oh, Miss Lisbeth, you just love Miss Alice. You thought you was her, you know, with your little cats and everything. Did you call one of your cats Dinah?
Yes, I did. Oh, dear old Dinah. I'd forgotten about her. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do about the baby?
Oh, I forgot, Miss Elizabeth. I was going to sing to the baby. Can I sing to the baby, Miss Elizabeth?
Oh, Lucretia, would you? I would just love it. All right, you sing to the baby and perhaps she'll finally go to sleep. I really need to get some rest this afternoon. I've been running after Solange all day and I'm so tired. Put her to sleep, would you, Lucretia? It always worked for me.
All right, Miss Elizabeth. I'm going to sing for this baby right now.
Swing low, sweet chariot, come and fall to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and fall to carry me home. I looks over Jordan, come and fall to carry me home. Crowds of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Oh, look, she's asleep. Oh, Miss Elizabeth. You know I can always put them babies to sleep. Thank you, darling Lucretia.
You're welcome, Elizabeth.